The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that fills you with dread and anxiety about dealing with your mother, only to replace that later with dread and anxiety about being a mother.
The movie where being a hateful bitch makes you a terrible mother until you're dying of cancer and then it makes you the best mother.
The movie where you get tired of dealing with Jeff Daniels' crap, so you decide to cheat on him with that sexy sex god Adonis himself, John Lithgow.
This is Terms of Endearment on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landi.
I'm Emma Peterson.
Yay!
Emma, did it!
Still struggling a little bit with that name. It's been a while, so it's, you're out of the habit
now
of
I'm just right
saying
back into
your
it.
Very own name
yep.
that yeah. you have had for many years. I don't want to say how many.
What, like? 20?
Like 5 years. She's very young. She is a baby.
We've been breaking this podcast for 12 years now.
Yeah.
And we have yet to get it right.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. 12 full years.
I was going to say that now the internet knows our dirty secret that Emma is underage and we've been giving her alcohol this
feeding
whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, when we started, she was 2 years old.
Yeah.
So now she's 14.
So now, yeah, exactly. That math checks out.
Yeah. That's what makes us gross.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of things make you gross.
Yeah,
lot
that's
of
true.
Have you listened to the podcast for
yeah.
this?
Yeah, we're just gross.
Do you know
you? Listen to all of the things we have talked about, always, forever?
Anyway, we're talking about Terms of Endearment.
We are talking about Terms of Endearment, 1983.
Yeah. We had to power through this movie.
The winner of many, many awards. Best picture, best director, best screenplay, I believe.
Best actress.
Best actress, yes.
Fucking great.
This was a
swept the awards.
Monumental hit, both financially and critically. And
this is an interesting movie because it's a very sad, like heart-wrenching, dramatic movie that also brought in $108,423,000.
Yeah, $108 million. 1983 money, of course, again, adjusted for inflation, using our perfect math as always.
$48 billion at least.
Yeah, yeah. At least.
Yeah, exactly. So forget about all the Black Panther money.
Yeah, they should have made Black Panther about sad mothers.
Yeah,
sad white ladies.
Exactly.
There's not enough of those.
Black Panther should have been about sad white ladies.
Please tweet that, by the way, just with the quotations that we said. So that'll just give us.
I want all that controversy.
Feed. Yeah,
I want to be on Fox News defending our podcast.
Oh God, my mom won't be so proud.
No.
It also has a shit ton of like talent in it.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's kind of like just shows up sometimes.
Yeah.
John Lithgow and Danny DeVito just show up for like four scenes.
Well,
Danny DeVito's like two scenes.
Yeah, Danny DeVito's barely in it. Basically, seems like he just did it as a favor for a buddy, that buddy being the director.
Yeah. And then John Lithgow, I mean, his part is pretty important, but he's only in it for a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
And then he's out.
Like, yeah, his part's very important, I would say. But yeah. I mean, all of the guys like this. So the guys that are in this movie, we'll get to what this movie is actually about. But the guys in this movie, you're talking Jeff Daniels,
yeah,
Jack Nicholson,
yeah,
Danny DeVito,
and John Lithgow.
That's a very solid. Especially this is 1983 Jack Nicholson, he's like the biggest star in the world.
Which is, we talked about it during the movie, that is fucking ridiculous.
Because he's like 52 in this
also,
movie.
Also, it's Jack Nicholson. He's not attractive. He's not a sex robot. Like,
have you seen any movie
I've
that
seen
he made?
All of them. And he's not sexy in any of them. He looks
that,
like a fucking
according
creep.
To the movies, he is super sexy all of them.
Jack Nicholson, it's like, it's all just like dickhead.
Cocky.
Yeah.
Which I guess was hot in the 80s because this movie proved that.
Yeah, it's definitely only in the 80s that was hot.
Cocky, like dickhead confidence he has. He really has that. Yeah. And we talked about it in The Witches of Eastwick when everybody falls in love with
him.
And in this one, right away, he's like banging chicks and stuff. Although he does get turned down by those young
people. Actually, the very first thing you see of him is him getting turned down hard.
No, that's not the first thing. The first thing you see is him being drunk in the front yard with that young chick.
And he's like a group of girls that are leaving his house.
Oh, yeah, they're leaving his place. And he's like throwing the trash, but he looks kind of wasted.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the first thing you see. And she's like, huh. Shirley MacLaine's like, huh.
Harumph.
Harumph.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to fuck him. Why would I want to fuck him?
Why would I want to have sex with him?
Why would I fuck this incredibly sexy astronaut that's next to me?
He's a fucking astronaut in this movie.
Astronaut, my asshole.
Yeah, I know. So let's talk about the plot of the movie. This movie.
You need to mention the director.
Yeah. All right. So James L. Brooks.
Yep.
Was hot off a Taxi.
Yep.
On this
hit show.
Yeah, super hit show. And a really good show.
I remember, okay, full disclosure, I know this is controversy and everything, but my parents were actually divorced for a little bit.
What? And then they got back together?
Yeah. And while they were divorced, I would go and stay with my dad for a month in Austin and then stay with my mom for a month in El Paso. And when I was with my dad, it was dope as fuck because we got to watch Taxi and MASH before we went to bed after eating ramen for dinner. It was fucking dope.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
My dad's house was awesome. There was also my babysitter. I had like really long nails, and I would ask her to scratch my back.
Really?
Yeah.
Like so purring like a cat.
Yeah. Anyways,
my takeaway from that very good story is that my parents are getting back together. Hooray!
I mean, they already got back together. Like,
so no, my parents. I don't care about your parents.
Oh, yeah. Your parents. It's all going to work out. If I've learned anything about divorce, is that it will actually work out completely.
Yeah, it comes back. Comes back around.
Hooray!
Speaking from a multiple marriage myself.
So that was what it was like with your dad. What about your mom?
So
the point was that you watch this movie.
Yeah. Okay. So I would watch this movie with my
mom. I like that your story ended with, like, it was fucking rad at my dad's. And then, like, that's it.
Yeah. So I would watch movies with my mom. But so I remember watching this movie a lot when I was little, which is kind of weird because it's not really, like, a little kid movie.
No, not at all.
But we watched it all, like, my mom and I watched it all the time. And then I remember watching Dirty Dancing with my grandma when she would babysit me, and she would give me coffee, and I'd have my own full cup of fully caffeinated coffee. Sweet. And I'd sit in my chair and I'd watch Dirty Dancing. And
no wonder you liked Dirty Dancing before.
Yeah, before. Now I hate it.
How little did you know that you were watching James L. Brooks' Taxi at your dad's house, James L. Brooks' Terms of Endearment at your mom's house.
Jesus Christ. My parents were destined to get back together.
Yeah.
He brought my parents back together.
He's the web.
And then my mom refused to let me watch The Simpsons growing up. That bitch.
Which
is the only thing that got them back together in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, James L. Brooks, you should have brought that up.
Be like, you need to fucking say you're sorry to me.
So yeah, you'll also notice one James L. Brooks in the credits for every single episode of The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, yeah. He's one of the original creators.
Well, yeah, he was the creator or the co-creator of the Tracy Ullman show with Tracy Ullman.
Yeah.
And of course, that's where The Simpsons and his whole thing. He actually, I guess he received a comic.
Yeah, because
by one Matt Groening.
Yeah, he had like comics. Yeah. He had comic strips, and he had a book of his comic strips, and he got it, and that's where he was like, "Oh, I'm gonna give this guy a shot. Let's put his cartoons in my."
Did you guys like the Tracy Ullman show?
I don't remember the Tracy Ullman show.
I remember some of it, but I didn't remember it being like super funny.
No, it was all The Simpsons. That's all I care about. All the old crude, like,
let's go out for chocolate milkshake.
I love original Homer Voice. Original Homer Voice is great.
So bad.
So any fucking animated show.
Fucking Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers.
What happened?
Yeah, the first
King
episode,
the
you're like, what? Everybody sounds fucking weird.
What's wrong with you, Gene?
He's like, hey, mom. Like, it's just fucking weird. And, yeah. And the same thing with, King of the Hill. Hank sounds like a lot like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Like, he's way clearly straight up Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Well, dang it, son. Like, he sounds fucking
That's
weird.
Dumb.
And yeah, every animated character, the show, the first season, is pretty awesome to go back and look at.
Yeah.
Super fucking.
Trying to find that voice.
Yeah.
And the animation's always shitty because
it's so foggy
money for
and
it.
Like, blurry and.
That could just be your very bad vision.
Looked like the inside of a cataract, they do.
Have you guys noticed that they're really wobbly?
That every single cartoon I watch has weird dots and spots all over it.
All over.
Yeah.
Is that like a Cartoon Network thing? Or?
All of Fox's animation
examination. Shitty. Your cartoons are shitty. They look like strokes. They taste like pennies. Yeah, that's how for
that is how it is.
That's just, that's just you.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Oh. All right. So James L. Brooks.
Well, all right.
Just real quick, while we're talking about the man. Also, it's good to mention he also wrote and directed As Good as It Gets.
Yeah.
Which was a Jack huge Nicholson. Jack Nicholson, and also another huge hit. Broadcast News was he wrote that. So
he
was a writer on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh. Yeah, he was an old school writer. He's
pretty incredible writer.
It's funny because this movie is kind of funny. Like there are things there are moments of real
funny bits.
Like apparently, just complete smartass sarcasm.
Yeah, the only reason he cast Shirley MacLaine was he said because she was the only one that said that this was a comedy when she auditioned. Yeah.
Which it's not.
Her character
is
the most you play it as a comedian. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And her character probably has the best, like, really funny moments.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's her reaction that is what's fucking funny.
Yeah.
And Shirley MacLaine is very good at being funny.
Yeah,
as,
she is.
Again, I think at least one of my highlights, if not everybody's highlights, from when we did Still Magnolias.
Oh, yeah. She was great.
Oh, yeah. Lisa. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah,
she's really great in that.
Oh, yeah. She's fucking great in that.
Yeah, but and then also, like, well, the movie starts off with Deborah Winger as a baby crying.
Yeah.
Right? And it's actually a really fucking good scene. Yeah. It's like a baby crying, and then the door opens.
No, the baby wasn't crying.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
The baby
right.
is dead silent.
That's right. It's actually the opposite.
Yeah. So the baby's sleeping peacefully, and she goes in. She's like, "The baby's dead. It's in. It's cradle
no." She
death.
Doesn't say. She said, "I think it's dead."
Yeah.
Like I think it's dead.
Yeah. And then you hear her husband being like, "She's not sleeping. Dead. Calm down." And
literally goes over and pinches the shit out of the baby.
Yeah. Until she starts crying, and then it's like, "Oh, she's fine." Leaves.
Walks away.
Leaves the baby crying.
Which is maybe the best opening scene in terms of telling you everything you need to know about a character
about
in like 90 seconds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was watching it, I was like, that's a great way to start this fucking mm-hmm. movie. I actually really, really like that scene. I like the way it's shot.
Yeah.
It's one shot. It's lit really awesome. It's all just lit from the other room.
Yeah.
She's dressed like they just got home from partying.
Yeah.
And that's,
even though
that's,
there's a baby there.
Right.
Like, yeah. And
yeah, she's not in like her nightgown.
Yeah,
No. Yeah. She's like in high heels and shit. Like that tells you everything that you need to know. About
yeah, it's
character.
A really smart. I mean, again, he's a really good writer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a really well directed.
Yeah, and well put together. Yeah. And it's actually his voice yelling at her as the husband.
That's
that's cool. Yeah.
She's a kind of cool little cameo.
Yeah, and then we jump ahead to like they're moving and
yeah. Well, so they've obviously got a divorce.
Away. No,
yeah.
he
passes away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Away.
I thought he just
they
couldn't stand her anymore.
They came back from the funeral and the man
that's
says,
right.
like, take care of your mother now that he's gone.
He just had this vision where he was just like, I can't stand this fucking woman.
I mean,
he just walked out.
After 2 seconds of the movie, I was like, I cannot stand this bitch. I'm done.
I think one of the most poignant things that I took away from this movie is a direct relationship to my relationship with my mother. Is when she's in the hospital and Shirley MacLaine is telling them to hang the framed art in her room. And then she's bitching at them and she's being rude to them. And then she's like, these are worth more money than you'll make in a year. And Deborah Winger says, I've dealt with her my whole life. You can deal with her for 2 minutes. That's what I take away from this movie. Mic drop, podcast over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's scenes that say everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so this movie, I cutting right to that point, I guess, this movie is incredibly realistic in a way that makes it sort of stressful to watch.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
For
it
real.
Is, it is. And actually, it takes up. So, spoiler alert, I mean, obviously, but eventually when you get to, like, the cancer stuff, like, I feel like that's when it really flies. That's when, like, you're really dealing with shit, I think.
Yes. I mean, I feel like in terms of it finally finding, like, a plot and direction,
and
that's
like,
true.
And, like, things for the characters.
Maybe it's
to
just
do.
Because that seems to have been the plot in Steel Magnolias as well.
Exactly.
It's like the main,
we
main
talked about
character
it in,
dying.
In the Steel Magnolias podcast.
That when I got to that, I was just like, well, of course she has. Like,
yeah
obviously. Mm-hmm. That's the only way this fucking
movie will ever
There's
end.
There's a lot of similarities, actually, with Steel Magnolias in this. Except for Steel Magnolias was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, this has moments.
Yeah.
But not nearly... Like, I was really hoping for it to be funnier.
Yeah.
I just think... I feel like just by the title alone, the whole movie... Deborah Winger was a bad mom. And, like...
That's why this movie, of course, was called Bad Moms.
Yeah. Right?
Christmas Vacation.
But, I mean, she wasn't a good mom. She wasn't a good wife. Like, no one in this movie is actually a good person. When you, like, get to it...
No, that's another one of those.
Yeah. This was another thing I talked about, actually, while... We didn't watch the movie together, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
Unlike usual. We didn't watch the movie together.
Because it was really hard to
Because it's very long.
Because it was like 2.5 hours, and we're like, we're not going to have 2.5 hours to watch.
Exactly. Yeah. So I watched it with a friend of mine, and afterwards, one of the things I talked about is like, it's very hard to get behind a movie where none of the characters are likable.
None.
Yeah.
They're all bad people in some way or another.
But not even in a fun way, like the Always Sunny crew.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, where they're just being shitty. Well, I think I like that because by the end, the character arc actually happens.
It is. Yeah. And I mean...
But they still are bad people, which is kind of comforting because they don't come out on the other side like, fuck, those are really great people.
No, they're still awful.
Which is funny that they would call it terms of endearment because that's so superficial and it's so like... It's just so surface level that's funny that the movie is called that and they're such shitty people.
What would you call it other than terms of endearment?
People suck. I'd call it
bitch mom.
A mom. Yeah. A mom, a daughter, and they're
Jack Nicholson.
Bad.
Could you just call it like Jack Nicholson, Dan DeVito, John Lithgow? Jeff Daniels.
I call it Jack Nicholson, astronaut, lady fucker.
Astronaut lady fucker.
That's copyrighted, by the way. No one can steal that from us.
Jack, call me up.
We got a new movie for you.
I got a new hot property.
Just reshooting Terms of Endearment, but calling it that.
But just from his perspective.
So we go from that to her kind of growing up and like a lot of like, you know, like here and there's type of deal.
Yeah, so it's, we cut forward.
Deborah Winger's kind of like a weird girl.
Yeah.
There's a scene where like the moving guys are moving and she's just like legs spread open kind of, and it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And Charlie like, comes
I think when you
her.
Have when you have a very, very, very bad mother and no father.
Yeah.
Yeah, her mom is rigid as fuck.
Shirley MacLaine is a fucking bitch in this movie. And she hates Jeff Daniels. She meets Jeff Daniels and they're gonna get married. She fucking hates him. Won't give them
Doesn't go
to the wedding.
Yeah. Or the wedding.
Yeah, she fucking like boycotts the wedding. And she's like, I don't think you're interesting enough to keep a husband or something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't think you're
special enough.
Yeah.
I don't think you're special enough
to make it through a bad marriage.
Yeah, to make it through a bad marriage. Which is, first of all, telling you your marriage is going to be bad. Uh-huh. And second of all, telling you fucking suck. Like,
it's rough. And then, while I laughed because I thought it was a very funny line when she's like, well, if that's the way you feel, don't come to the marriage. And Shirley MacLaine goes,
All right,
you know, I was thinking it was kind of hypocritical.
That shit was absolutely a conversation that I've had.
It's a very funny, funny line. Yeah. And I'm sorry you had to go through that, Emma.
No, it's okay. Look at me. I'm a shining star.
but funny. That's, I guess.
That's a tough. Right,
that's the whole, again, kind of the whole movie in a nutshell is it's kind of funny, but also Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
So she marries Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels actually starts off being a really cool husband.
Kind of, because
I mean, he's a loser.
The shit that you notice right away. Yeah, but the shit that you notice right away is when they're having that moment and they're inside their house and she's talking about people with books and smart books, whatever. But then he was like, you're a nice girl and you're, what did he call her? And we were laughing about it and it was like, you're my sweet ass girl. Like, that's what you say to her on your wedding night. Like, he didn't have a lot of compliments for her. Yeah. Like,
I call all my girlfriends sweet ass girl. What are you talking about?
But you know what I mean? Like, it kind of led on right away that he was like, I don't really know why I'm marrying you.
And then when they became
they're very different. It is one of those things where they're very different people. Like,
yeah.
She,
and, but you still get like a little bit of that, like, oh, they're married, it's
cute. Yeah.
And then they go to that dinner party with Danny DeVito first shows up, and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
I know, I was so excited when Danny DeVito. Yeah.
And again, he's like a scummy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he always
Well, and
is.
He's like a southerner. Yeah. Because he's like, I saw her in church, and I just knew she was the most beautiful creature I had to just be in her presence.
He's being like super funny and scummy and shit, and I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I was so into it, and then he's not in the movie.
Nope.
Yeah, and then that's it. But that scene also has where she's like, we got news, everybody. We're pregnant. And fucking Shirley MacLaine loses her shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? And then he's like, oh, aren't you happy? She's like, what the fuck would I be happy about being a grandma? And she loses her fucking
Which,
shit.
Which, again, a very...
A great line.
A great line. Yeah. Because it's not... Because there's a million reasons for her to be like, no, you're 19 years old. You just got...
Everything
like, what
is
the
terrible.
Fuck is wrong with you?
I wish you guys would have waited.
Yeah, like, why didn't you... But instead she's like, no, you... I'm,
I don't
want to
be a
I don't
grandma.
Want to be a grandma. I'm hot.
I've got a
young.
Table full of dudes that want to date me.
Which is also a very weird and weird,
that
funny
is so
thing.
Weird.
Is that so... We see her, or there's this one guy that's kind of orbiting around her that at first I was like, oh, that's her boyfriend or something.
Yeah.
But then clearly it's not.
No.
Yeah,
because
she's
also inviting other dudes to have dinner with them.
And
then eventually she's like, and they make it clear later on that she is not having sex with any of these guys.
She doesn't even like sex.
She doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until finally, again, spoiler alert for an hour into this movie,
Jack Nicholson
gets up in that.
In.
Well, and actually, that their relationship is really weird and funny as well.
I actually really like the relationship.
Because Jack Nicholson is a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
He's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
She's but a rigid
he's a,
bitch.
He's a piece of shit in a very different way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so way back, it used to be you were like 17, you had a baby.
Sure.
And then that baby grew up, and when she was 17, she had a baby. So when you were 34, you were a grandmother, and then you would die at 40.
Yeah,
and then
so
like
it was
done
fine.
And done.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, it kept getting older and older, and then we were like, oh no, grandma's like 50, 56 or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, like, I do, even if you have a kid at 20 and your kid has a kid at 20, you're a grandma at 40. Like, I feel like that's a normal thing for her to freak out that bad.
Yeah. But they're bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm still young, goddammit. Yeah, she's
such a self-centered way to freak out.
Call her grandma.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mrs.
Evergreen or whatever
Evergreen,
the fuck their name is. Yeah, I can't remember.
Her relationship with Deborah Winger is so funny throughout the film because she calls her nonstop to the point that she calls the operator to tell them that she has an emergency just because the line is busy.
Yeah.
And then
and
like,
just because
right,
she wants
this all the time.
Yeah, just because she wants to tell Deborah Winger, like, I fucked the astronaut.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Also, Deborah Winger apparently
cocaine
out the whole time. The whole fucking time.
Yeah, just off and on cocaine. That's why her performance is a little all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good performance.
It is actually a good performance
crazy.
Because her character is
her
all over the place. Because
weird,
her character, she grew up with fucking Shirley MacLaine, the insane woman, as her only like parental figure.
Yeah. It makes sense that shitty mother and also coked out are the same thing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the church groups that I attend to meet women say the same thing.
Say the same thing.
The exact same thing.
I mean, I don't listen that hard because, again, I'm there to meet women, but pretty sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah obviously.
Or it could just be that shitty mother leads to cocaine, which I also feel like is something the church group says a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's like in Psalms 14, 9.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
God so loved the earth that he gave us cocaine and bad mothers.
Leviticus 14:12. God so saved.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that in like WWE, you know, in the arenas.
Powdered donuts make thy gonuts.
Thou swill gonuts over
powdered donuts.
Over thine powdered donuts.
That is a great way to refer to cocaine. I don't know why we didn't start that way.
Yeah.
It should always have been powdered donuts.
Yeah, because...
Well,
because
then that gets confusing.
Honestly.
Because what if you show up with donuts?
Well, which what I would do.
That's on you.
That's definitely what I would do.
But I would also be like, well, I'm also going to eat these donuts, all right? So, like, don't be mad.
I mean, look, I feel like if you show up with a bunch of donuts, where people, well, actually, maybe not coke. I'm thinking more weed. If it was weed, though, they're fucking devouring those donuts. You know what I'm saying?
I remember one time I was with a friend and he was like, do you want to go to the candy store? I was like, fuck yeah, I want to go to the candy store.
You're like, I want
store.
Some fucking candy.
I was like, candy? Yeah. I want some nerds. I want some dots. Fucking bottle caps.
I want some whoppers up in this bitch.
And I didn't realize it was the candy store like on 22nd.
It's a strip club. A no longer existing strip club here in Tucson. Yeah. I made that same mistake.
It's called like Venom or some shit. Yeah, well,
only I had the opposite reaction, which was like, candy store? I don't want any candy. Strip club? Turn!
Candy? You turn! You didn't say cock candy.
Got out four cars.
Yeah, exactly. I just ran over.
18 car pileup. Yeah, exactly. Children dead everywhere.
Roll down your window and you're like, it's all right, everybody. I'm going to the strip club.
It's like, not go, a candy go, store. Go, go. It's a strip club, guys.
They don't sell actual candy. They have naked women, people. Naked women and booze.
A cop is like, get in there, buddy.
Get in there.
Go for it.
Stop traffic.
Do
for
it.
You.
Yeah, like leads you in, and he's like, I love this job.
So rewarding.
And then you're like, fuck yeah. And then you get up, and they're like, $10 cover. And you're like, okay, here we go. Yeah. It's going to be a guy sitting here by myself.
Yeah. Oh, my God. $10, really?
Oh, do you,
how much is a beer?
How much is $14 for Tecate?
Oh my God, really? Do you have craft?
It's like, no, it's like Tuesday night.
Why does it taste like that?
Yeah.
That bitch bites me one more time.
Really? That's all you got? That's the... Okay, okay, I guess. Look, let's be real. The candy store was not a good strip club.
Yeah, it was not.
No.
It was not a good
strip. Maybe it would have made a better candy store, legit.
Yeah, it should have been a better candy store. Yeah. Actually, there's a fucking... I mean... If you're listening from outside of Tucson, we're in Tucson.
But yeah, which I assume most of you are.
Next, by the candy store, there's like a Humane Society place where you can go get your dogs.
That's right.
Like a puppy.
Shit. So if you go like some afternoons, it's just a shit ton of people out there with dogs and shit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the strippers.
That was actually, for people, again, not in Tucson, that was an incredible strip mall for a minute because you had the candy store, the strip club at the corner. Then you had the animal like hospital or whatever, which was so you just have all these people with these adorable pets. And then you had there was a so right next to that was a comic book store. So across the store, by the way, liquor store. So you know, but and then right next to that, a barbecue place that was fucking dope.
Yeah, that's
and then right to next to that, a school.
Yeah, that's right. But there was like a one little section where there was like a DES. I remember because I had to go there for some access shit that I was not approved for.
Yeah.
Fuck you, access.
They're like, you want to learn some shit? You got no money? You like comic books? Yeah. And titties?
Are
and
you
titties?
Hungry? I mean, do it you was have really... a dog that needs to be fixed?
It was a one-stop shop for me. I got to tell you. It covered all my bases.
All my errands,
and
done.
Yeah. You get like called, like you have to do one thing and you show up and you're like, everything is here.
Yeah. It's like, wait, I can read Batman, get barbecue, and see tits?
You're like, I'm a scumbag. Yeah. This is all I ever freaking needed.
And it's easy access in and out because it's a school zone. So everybody's going real slow.
So it's great. It's great.
I like this idea that it's like a cutaway to like a rich guy. And he's like, huh.
Oh, that's disgusting.
These commoners. Comic books.
That's why my kids will never go to charter school. Also why I will never have kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is a movie, to the plot. This was a movie that definitely reinforced the, man, kids.
Are fucking life-sucking, terrible pieces of shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, she goes, all right, so she's married to Jeff Daniels.
So Deborah Winger's marries Jeff Daniels. Things aren't great, but then he gets a job in Illinois.
So they moved to Illinois.
Right.
It was Iowa.
Excuse Des Moines. Me.
And because there's that line where she's like, remember there's that line where she's like, people travel from all over the world to go to Des Moines. I was like, don't lie to the child.
She's trying to get the kids excited. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So by this point, she has what, two kids,
one.
Right?
And she's
she has one and
second.
She's pregnant. Yeah. And
because the kid can't call her grandma.
Obviously, Shirley MacLaine is just devastated that they're leaving. But they eventually, and Deborah Winger doesn't really want to go either.
Does it really?
Was your mom devastated?
It, it, and, I won't speak for her.
Because your mom was banging Jack Nicholson?
No, yeah, oh, obviously.
I will speak for my mom. Even though I'm only like 4 hours away from her, she was devastated when I left.
Yeah, my mom was pretty fucking upset. And like she did that whole thing like, the phone bill is going to be crazy. And,
oh,
like,
yeah, because she says that.
Yeah, and like it was like, drive away slow so I can wave at you. And there was a lot of like making the loop of the fucking driveway like 10 times.
We're not leaving yet. I swear, yeah. I'm not
and
leaving
And then I
yet.
Made it to the fucking interstate and the cat fucking took a shit in the cat box. So I had to pull over and then clean the cat box right away. It was a long nice. Drive. Yeah,
yeah, she does have that thing when she's like, yeah, pull
drive away slow.
And then Jeff Daniels fucking slams on the gas because there's this whole thing that he hates Shirley MacLaine and she hates him.
And I mean, rightly so. They're, yes, they're
on both.
People.
On both.
Yeah, they're yeah.
both terrible to each other.
Because Shirley MacLaine obviously sees that this guy is terrible for her daughter. Right. And this guy. I
no,
she does,
she's a hateful bitch.
She's a hateful bitch. She doesn't show up to the wedding. She never even gave him a chance, really. No, like, he could have been the greatest guy in the world.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. He so could have been Clark fucking Kent. Yeah. Would not have mattered.
They go off, and then we get, like, this whole thing with Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson dating for a little bit. Jack Nicholson right. makes her drive around on the beach, which is really fucking rad.
That, and, so, and that's the scene that I
no,
feel like I've seen a million
drive.
Times. No, he, well... She's hitting the gas. He's steering
with
his legs.
Feet.
With his yeah. leg, yeah, with his knees and shit.
Yeah.
Well, because there's this whole thing with
like
them.
Donuts on the beach.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah, you can flip that shit into the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And you're both dead.
Yeah. And they eventually do, like, almost crash basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a scene I feel like I've seen a lot, just referenced and
but
stuff
also,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, but their whole relationship's kind of interesting because he sort of flirts with her a little bit and is like, hey, I was thinking about asking you this dinner, but the dinner got canceled. So, you know, but whatever, what would you have said? And then eventually, so, and it's been like 10 years.
Yeah. They do a lot of weird times.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's been like 10 years. Deborah Winger has like 3 kids now. Yeah. And, this whole, and now Jeff Daniels is maybe cheating on her. She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. Yeah.
But, Deborah Winger realizes that she's 50 or no, I'm sorry, not Deborah Winger, Shirley MacLaine. Gets called out at her 50th birthday party because by someone being like, no, you're 52.
Yeah, yeah, at her 50th fucking birthday party. It's great.
It's really funny. And, she gets
my mother.
A real strong jab at her.
Yeah, and she gets so upset that she's like, I'm going to go fuck Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck that neighbor dude that's always fucking a young chick. Yeah. Because I'm a young chick.
Mm, yeah.
But I'm a young chick.
And they go on the world's worst date.
Yeah. Huh? He's just like, he wasn't even wasted. He was just a weird dude.
No, because he's very
eccentric. He's an astro.
He's eccentric and he's very to the point. I will give him that. Like almost right off the, like when he first asked her to lunch, this is before this, but he first asked her to lunch and she's like, all right, I guess we could do lunch. And he's like, you know what? Now that we're talking, let's forget the lunch and let's just fuck. We both want to fuck, right? Can we just fuck? Yeah.
She's so offended by everything he does. She's such a prude.
Well, but that's also
not.
I mean,
not
well, she doesn't like sex.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't like sex, but even I feel like. I mean, this is 1980. Actually, that scene's probably like 1972.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't just jump to sex in 1972.
Well, I mean, you do if you're in your 20s and you're covered in like.
Well, yeah, if you're
have a giant mustache,
if you're at,
glitter.
If you're at like a fucking Jimi Hendrix show, you jump right to sex. But if you're like a 35-year-old in 1972, you don't just fuck. Yeah,
which is funny because today old people fuck more than young people.
Oh yeah, Florida man, STDs are running rampant.
Crazy. And then also they're like, I'm gonna die in like 3 years. What the fuck do I?
That's true.
Which is why old people. Right here.
I remember
Soulmates.
I can't wait to be 60.
There was like a show on A&E and it was like a reality show, but it was based at like a retirement community, and that was my fucking jam.
Yeah.
Like it was everything I've ever aspired to be in my whole
it's like
life.
Weird drama and
yeah.
sex and
just
shit.
Like
only
bitches
very
getting
old
mad.
And attractive.
Oh my god, it was fucking phenomenal.
You like sex?
Yeah.
This show has a lot of sex.
That's good.
You like crazy bitches fighting over dudes?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
This show has a lot of that. You like people falling over and not being able to stand up?
I
can do
just
with
my
that,
life.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess, right?
This show has a lot of that. All right. It's all old people.
All in Miami-Dade County.
But speaking of those life goals, my life goal to be like our sponsors.
All right. That was pretty good.
That was
close.
That was good.
Close. All right. Sponsor time! People's Choice Video Express for providing the movie. You can go rent that movie tomorrow.
Yeah, it's right
or
there.
Today, or whatever. Yeah.
By the time you listen to it, it's probably there.
$1.99 for 7 days, that's fucking like...
That's super cheap.
That's 30 cents a day.
You practically sold that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's less than a stamp, motherfucker.
You can watch it, get mad, and bring it back.
Yeah,
like, keep that shit.
Exactly. That just not have to clutter your home.
Yeah, so just
exactly.
Come back and drop it in the slot.
Yeah. I know. If you're like me, you're trying to cut down on physical possessions because you're trying to like. You know, just purge. Get rid of all that shit. Yeah, you're trying to purge Buddha? That shit. Yeah, because I'm clearly a very religious person, and a very spiritual person, yeah. Very like in touch with my inner chi and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, your chakras, dude. They're so aligned right now. I'm gonna throw up.
Exactly. I mean, that's also because I punched you several times in the stomach.
Again, chakras.
But it was my inner my inner serenity told me to punch you in the stomach many times.
I don't blame you. I'm not no hard.
But yeah, so you get to take that shit right back. And now no shit. Yeah. We got no shit.
Awesome. Also, Beer Geek Bakery.
Woohoo!
Gonna celebrate the 2-year anniversary.
2 years.
That's right. 2 years is coming up. I know. When is that?
July 5th.
July 5th. So yeah,
Tap and Bottle North
is coming out.
You got a
couple days.
Yeah, it's like a week away. Exactly. Actually, so Tap and Bottle North. There's gonna be some baking demos. So if you ever wanted to get in my head, which is a really cool place to live. I will demo some baking things for you, and then you get a flight with the demo class, and then also the flights are available, and then fucking tank tops, bitches. I got tank tops.
Damn.
That's a big deal. Bitches love tank tops.
Bitches be loving tank
tops. We live in Tucson. It's fucking hot.
That makes sense. It is. Yeah. It is. It's 108 degrees out. Yeah.
It's 108 right now in here.
Yeah. It's fucking hot. At 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. So, obviously, Beer Geek Bakery, we've talked about it a million times. Less than that, because we've only done 65 episodes, but we've talked about it a lot.
Exactly, it's, 65 times, except for when I'm not here. I know you guys don't fucking
yeah, no, that. We... Yeah, no. Hey, you didn't sponsor until, like, episode 8, so... Yeah.
The first podcast was recorded at my motherfucking house.
Yeah, but did you give us goodies?
Yes, probably. I always give you guys fucking goodies.
That's actually probably true.
Exactly.
Probably true, but we're like that. Regardless of that... You follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, dude. Not Twitter,
but Facebook.
Gross. I don't even know what that is.
Facebook and Instagram. Follow it. Posting all kinds of just delicious treats. You're gonna get hard from that delicious confectionery goodies. But also, you're gonna find out about amazing events not just at Tap and Bottle North next week, but everywhere, all over Southern Arizona. You're gonna want to go to those events because those treats are delicious.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I put salt in it.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so then Deborah Winger decides, you know what? I'm going to fuck another guy. I'm tired of Jeff Daniels.
Well, she doesn't really decide it.
Yeah. Who am I going to fuck?
She goes to the grocery store.
She
goes to the grocery store.
Here's my read on it. You have an interesting read on it, which is that she wanted to fuck some other guy. My read on this is that she goes to the grocery store, just very ordinary day. Dealing with these shitty fucking children.
She's a literal.
Yeah, she doesn't work.
No education. Yeah. She says it, housewife.
Like, yeah, yeah. Well, she got married at like 14. So,
yeah, exactly. At least 11.
Yeah,
yeah.
Probably.
Back then, it's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's cool now too. Depending on what state you're in. Yeah.
True.
Alabama. What's up?
So she goes to the grocery
Roll
store.
Tide.
She goes to the grocery store and is just like with her three shitty children, is short a couple of bucks, and who comes through in the clutch? None other than fucking six-pack abs, giant peck, beautiful
strong
face,
jawline, just
incredible. Yeah. The hair, the fucking mane of hair.
You remember that shot of Gina Davis looking at Brad Pitt and Thelma and Louise?
Oh yeah,
and being like, "Who the fuck is that?"
You remember in every Marvel movie how there's always a scene of one of them without their shirts on, just being like, "I'm fucking ripped as shit, motherfucker."
It's like if you took the personality of Captain America. The style of Tony Stark and the snarkiness, and then also the body of Thor.
And you get
and the sweetness of
Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
All right, Bruce Banner. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah,
then
Mark
you would Ruffalo. Have John Lithgow.
Then you get one John Lithgow. It is serious. All right. So 1983 and John Lithgow and 1983 Jeff Daniels. Are the same guy.
They are the
They're
same
not.
Guy.
They're
both
definitely not.
White bread.
Jeff Daniels had hair, first of all.
Jeff Daniels is younger than
Jeff
John
Daniels
Lithgow.
Is skinnier, younger, has hair.
Which is weird that she went with John. I mean, I guess
no,
the father
it has nothing to do with that. Yeah, it has to do with an abandoned father and also the fact that John Lithgow is nice.
Yeah, he's super nice.
And he's super into her and affectionate.
That
and,
phone call after their first
God,
time having sex and he's like,
is it okay?
Tell you,
yeah.
Like,
hand holding.
God,
it's,
kill coming out, I'd no, it's awful. For a stupid
it's a,
ass.
It's a really awful. If you're gonna have an affair, have a. Don't have Dude, that affair.
Don't have that. That's not no, an that's affair. That's an a love-making loaded. Session. Yes. Everything about that is like, affair. Luggage, yeah. luggage.
You're like, now I got to deal with all your insecurities because you're just an older, nice dude.
Right. And then he I talks mean, about how...
if you want to fuck somebody nice, then yeah. But if you want to like fuck.
Yeah, if you're just
Right, because she's not going to leave her husband.
No. She has no education.
And he's not going to leave for his shitty wife that won't fuck him for 3 years.
I mean, she did because they had like 100,000 kids.
No, no, I'm talking about Lithgow.
John Lithgow, that's right.
Yeah, so he hasn't had sex in 3 years because his wife has a hurt back. It's a lie. It is. Well, I mean, Deborah Winger points out, like, there's other, you could try different positions. Like, I've asked like 6,000 times. Yeah. So clearly, it's not the back. No, like, it's not just it's the back.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. But yeah, no, so she cheats on Jeff Daniels, but Jeff Daniels is probably cheating on her. And that's actually later on. Later on, he does make a comment.
Yes.
Yeah. Later on, when there's like everything was okay, right? And he's like, yeah, except for the cheating. And it, like
he does that. You get confirmation.
You get a confirmation.
Well, what I thought was a little weird, but also kind of realistic again.
I don't think at the time that she catches him.
The quote unquote catching him is he's talking to this person who's being like
Janice.
That's right. She's playing with his hair,
and he's just like, "You're just in love with the idea of me because I'm your professor," and blah blah blah. And he's kind of it.
I felt like he was like pushing it off.
Exactly. Where it felt to me, I was like, that could have very easily been if this was the sitcom version, if this was the Simpsons version, it would just be like, oh, you overheard a conversation with this student that likes me telling her like I'm married and you just misunderstood that. I was like, no, I'm a married guy, like move on with your life. Yeah.
But I mean, probably there's a lot of other shit going on
leading up to that.
Yeah, and it's like an emotional cheating,
and she's touching him. Which...
fuck that! First of all,
and I do like that scene because he turns around and the baby's on his chest.
Yeah. Which is pretty great. It's pretty great.
I was like, again, the baby was there.
there are. I will give this up to Brooks on this. Is there are so many little touches like that are just
she's devastatingly real. So she catches them. She's like, you're an asshole. Turns around, takes off running. He runs after her. They're screaming at each other.
And where then she gets
like,
the baby?
And then she's like,
it's so good.
She's like, stop running. You're bumping the baby all around.
Yeah, the baby's going to throw up.
Yeah.
The
baby's going to throw up.
And then she's like, give me the baby. And they're like struggling like,
because
yeah.
that's and real
he's,
life.
They're being careful. Yeah, because they're like, no, baby. Like, fucking shit. Shut this shit down. We got a baby.
So then, I mean, they break up. Let's get to the nitty gritty of this. She goes to the doctor. The doctor's like, you got a thing on your fucking
Well, because she takes her shitty kid in for like a shot.
That shit does not matter.
Yeah.
She goes to the doctor. The doctor tells her, like, you got a thing in your, you got a cyst.
Well, because it's just, it's like, we'll give you your shot now. Oh, you got a weird thing here. Let's check it out.
So then they check it out and everybody's like, it's going to be fine. And then
it's cancerous as fuck. I mean, the minute they're like, hey, there's a weird, I was like, cancer.
I mean, it's a movie. Well, you don't mention it if it's not a big deal.
First of all, yes. Yeah. Also, you don't just get cysts on your tits.
No. That's not how that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's bad.
She gets cancer, and then it throws everything through a fucking whirlwind.
Although cysts on your tit is a sex move that I'm very good at, ladies.
You just like drain them of life for a year and then kill them.
That's right.
You're the chemo of sex.
And I feel like this is where the movie takes off for me. Like, this is where I was like, all right, now I'm on board with real drama, real crazy drama. It's going to get sad. It's starting to get sad, and it's starting to get real. And then Jack Nicholson shows up in that scene.
Jack Nicholson and Shirley MacLaine, they date for a little while, and then Nicholson basically comes to her and is like, look, I'm not this guy. I'm not the relationship guy.
I feel obligated
and I can't handle that. So he runs away. And then once MacLaine goes to visit Deborah Winger in the hospital, he just shows up. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's a really touching moment.
All right, there is Jack Nicholson has one of the best fucking lines and one of the so they do that and then they're leaving. He's leaving. And she goes up and she's like she hugs him and all that. She leaves and she goes and like waves him back down and she's like, "Hey, I love you." And then he's like, I was so close to leaving.
No, she said, I love you before. And then he walked away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then she turned around and waved him down again.
And then she's like,
it not matter?
Yeah, does it not matter? Did you hear me when I said that I love you? Does that matter? And all right, here's the thing. Jack Nicholson's like, I was almost done. I was almost, so close to being done.
I almost got away scot-free.
But he gives probably the best response that I could ever think of for a premature I love you.
Yeah, I say he's the
like
same this. Thing.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to give you my stock answer. I love you too. That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. That's what you want to hear back if you're somebody telling somebody that you love them.
The way he delivers it is very glib.
Yeah.
It's very like, love you too, kid.
Yeah, exactly. If you tell somebody, if you put yourself out on the line, here's what you're doing. You're telling them, I love you. What do you want to hear back? Because I love you too. That's the only reason why you're saying it.
Right.
But if somebody tells you, I'm going to tell you what I tell anybody that tells me they love
you. He's making it very clear. Too.
That is a crazy fucking response. There's no coming back from that.
No.
How do you, because you got your I love you back, but you know that everybody got the I love you back.
Yeah.
So then that means nothing. It's so fucking brilliant.
It is pretty brilliant.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
It is pretty perfect, and it's also why Jack Nicholson in this movie is my spirit animal.
What? Like, I didn't even thought of that.
And
what
she walked away happy like a dumb fucking bitch that I fucking lived. I've been that dumb bitch that's just like, whatever, it counts.
Yay.
He said it. Yay.
He said he loves me.
Oh, God. We're
Emma,
in love now.
Emma.
I've been married like 18 times. Do you think that happens by accident? No.
It's all the I love you.
It's all the I love you too.
It's all the, he said it.
He said it. It counts. We're engaged now.
Yeah, but before that he was like, I love you too.
We're breaking up. And I'm like, all right. I give you a ride to the airport though.
It doesn't count when his dick is in your mouth, Emma. I'm just going to put that out
there. I wrong.
No, I'm saying his response to you. You took that.
I just take it wrong.
Yeah.
But I only say it when his dick is in my mouth. Does that count?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's
smart
on your end, I guess.
Yeah.
That's how you get I love his back.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a 100% response ratio.
Yeah. Dick in mouth. I love back.
You're not gonna not love somebody at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
So going back to the super sad death part,
So she gets cancer, and
what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that scene. So she's saying her goodbyes with like everybody and stuff, and she like says goodbye to Jeff Daniels. She said goodbye to her shitty friend Patsy or Patricia or whatever.
In the book, she has an affair with Jeff Daniels,
which makes sense.
Oh yeah, that
because
totally
she
makes
was
sense.
Such
in
a
their,
shitty
in their
friend.
Acting, it makes sense. Yeah.
That may have been a deleted scene. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
So, Patty, we should mention Patty. So, two things about her. First of all, she invites Deborah Winger to New York once she finds out she's sick. And all of her friends are the fucking
worst.
God, they're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that she wants to take the daughter, but only the daughter.
Only the daughter. Who the fuck does that? What a... fucking
bitch.
The thing about the kids is the fucking worst, because Jeff Daniels is like, I don't really want the kids.
He straight up tells Deborah Winger on her fucking deathbed.
After he gets really offended when Shirley MacLaine is like, you don't want the kids. He's like, fuck you, they're
don't
my kids.
Don't tell me
like,
what to do
you.
With
yeah.
my kids. But then he goes in and she's like, I don't want them being raised by Janice, your fucking mistress. And then he's like, hey, she's
not
a nice
bad.
Girl.
She's not
bad,
but I think they'd be good with your mom.
Yeah.
I think I'd screw them up. I'm going to go be a non-dad. I'm going to miss him. He fucking says, I'm going to miss him a lot.
Yeah.
That
is,
Who the fuck says that? Jesus Christ.
It's rough because on one hand, as Shirley MacLaine says, his best quality is knowing when he's not qualified.
Yeah.
And he's like, realistically speaking, if he takes those kids...
He's not gonna pay. It's gonna be bad.
But I mean,
because he freaked out when she went to New York.
Yeah.
Like, what are your kids gonna stay with? Your mom or your sister, whatever. Yeah, or not her sister, but Patty.
God damn, that's so terrible.
But yeah, it's rough to watch and to be like,
it makes
wow,
sick.
Yeah.
But then, she calls the kids in, and that's one of the hardest scenes. Is
but honestly, that scene, like, if I sat there and I've had conversations with my nephews that were really fucking hard, and that's just my nephew, not my son. And if I sat there and had a conversation with them, like, I can get where her character lended towards someone who didn't really take a lot of shit too serious. And I appreciate the fact that she was like, never hold yourself guilt, like, never put weight on yourself for being guilty that you never said I love you. But it was a brief, like, 3-minute conversation that she had with these kids that she'll never see again.
Yeah,
and
they,
those
crazy.
Were her
and then
children.
She's like, go, go.
She's like, get out of here, you
little
scamp.
It's a very movie scene.
It is.
It is. It definitely is. But you know what? I mean, here's the thing about this movie is that the performances make this fucking movie.
Right.
And the little kid performances are actually very good.
Right.
Those
that
kids crying.
Teddy? I was like, fucking kill me now because this kid is fucking
adorable. That kid
adorable.
Was fucking crying
yeah.
his eyes out.
Oh my God. Somebody was like, hey, dude, your mom died. And then he was crying and they were like, shut the fucking cameras.
Yeah,
like, they told
really,
him his real mother died
in real
life.
I was thinking, I was thinking, like, what did they bring out of this kid? Because he was legitimately sobbing.
He was legitimately.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was so sad. His little lips.
I'm pretty sure they killed his puppy in front of
they
him.
They had to. They yeah. they slit its throat
that's
and made him
good,
drink the
that's
blood.
That's how you get good acting in 1983 from
yeah.
children.
That's how you get good acting. And it was fine by the unions back then.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
And why isn't it now? Why isn't it now, unions? Just because I killed 3 or 4 or maybe 15 puppies.
To get, invoke the feelings that
3,
you wanted.
3, 4, or 482.
Yeah. Now they
want
to call me the Carilla DeVille of Arizona. I say, fuck you.
I say, I have the best coats and tags. That's what I say. That's my response to
shine
that.
Shine it. But honestly, that scene, I mean, it hurt, but... It didn't invoke as much as it could have because I feel like scene. One, Deborah Winger must not have been a mother if she I don't even know
oh,
if she is
a cokehead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like I feel like
her kid was cocaine.
Yeah, she's never had like a connection in real life to be able to understand. And then like I don't know, it just wasn't realistic to me. You would not just send your kids away because you're gonna get too upset. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Like
you're
like I have no human emotions.
And I thought it was gonna be solid because. She made sure to put on makeup before so that she looked
terrible
healthy.
Makeup, by
terrible
the way.
Terrible makeup that she wiped
God damn
off.
Goddamn
the 80s.
Yeah. I know. Just again.
Yeah, the 80s.
I don't know. That scene just like ripped my fucking
heart out. End result is Shirley MacLaine, the grandma, takes the kids in.
She Deborah Winger dies in a really good scene.
In a really crazy scene.
I think that's
Shirley MacLaine's awake
that's
and they kind of look
that's
at each
your
other.
Oscar winner,
yeah.
Right, where she's like, stupid me. I thought it was going to be relief when she died.
Yeah.
She breaks down and cries.
But also the fact that
also
like, they
really,
look at each other.
Yeah.
It's really
perfect that Shirley MacLaine's the one awake and that Jeff Daniels is asleep and then wakes. Yeah. 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 It's so good.
He sleeps through it.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, he does,
but ish.
Yeah.
He gives a fuck enough to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, obviously. I mean, I think he does care about her. I think it's unfair to say that he does love her in his way.
Also, I noticed
but he's
that
just not a good person.
At no point through the process of her having cancer and her surgeries and stuff did anyone, like, comfort him. You know,
yes.
Like, the point where her best friend, Patty, like, puts her arm around him at the grandma's house and like he starts crying and that's the first time that he's
been
comforted
that's fair because even they have a conversation he has a conversation with Shirley MacLaine in the like hospital and then that Shirley MacLaine is like kind of tearing into them
but even that I feel like is a realistic thing because when you're the man in the situation you're expected to
what
be
are you supposed to do?
Exactly so
that was terrible.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough movie.
It is.
That's
very sad.
The movie, it's a good movie.
It's
not the best movie of 1983.
I don't think it's
but,
that many nominations.
No,
it,
it's actually still on the list. AFI's list.
Yeah, whatever.
100 movies you gotta watch.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ,
no. But it is a good movie, but it's also a very hard movie to watch just because Jesus Christ. Like,
it invokes like all those
so
people in your life that you're like, oh yeah.
There's nobody to root for.
No,
and there's just terrible. It's just fucking, and it's not funny enough to be like, oh, let's laugh at these awful people. It's just like, Jesus, this is life, right?
Yeah,
here.
This is real life.
This is just
fucking.
Exactly.
I come to escape.
I come here to see giant robots fighting giant monsters. Like, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
But I mean, the performances do it. The movie. Is well directed.
It is.
It is.
It is.
It's based on a book. And there, we're talking about there's a sequel. What was it? The Star?
The Evening Star.
Evening Star, yeah, where she's grown up and the kids are a mess. Yeah. And she, well, I mean, she's always been grown up, but it's like 15 years later.
Yeah.
The kids are grown up and they're a mess and she's dating with them.
Were you saying Shirley MacLaine has grown up?
Shirley MacLaine is now a grown up.
It is funny
young
to
Shirley
me.
Shirley MacLaine.
It is funny to me that this movie is, what, 5-6 years before Steel Magnolias?
And she's supposed to be like a young person.
Yeah, well, she
grandma.
Does look like fairly young in this movie, and then Steel Magnolias, they
wrecked.
Make her look, yeah.
They're just like, you're
like
a fucking
an old
wreck
lady.
Of a human. Yeah.
Fucking 83 Jack Nicholson looks like he's fucking 50 in
this
movie.
Yeah.
He looks, you know what he looks like, which is funny? He looks like Burt Reynolds in Striptease. There's that scene when he shows up and he's like, I was running around. And his like stomach is out. And he's got shorts and like boots on.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like Burt Reynolds did in the Striptease.
Well, it's funny because the only time I ever remember Jack Nicholson looking semi-young is in The Shining. And then after that, it was immediately just like 80. Like, that's it.
I don't know what you people are talking about. Jack Nicholson was this fucking sex god in this movie. And
yeah, he was a sex god in this movie.
Well, she describes him as arrogant, self-centered, and somewhat entertaining.
Yeah. Again, life goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, yeah.
He's
an astronaut for crying out loud.
He's an astronaut.
He says he's like, there's only like 105 fucking astronauts.
On the whole
I'm gonna use
fucking
it.
Planet.
It is funny in his like dining room. There's nothing but
shrine.
Pictures and medals of
him.
It's just a shrine to
And Shirley MacLaine calls him out on it. He's like, hey, you gotta use what you got.
Yeah.
You gotta use all the weapons in the arsenal. There's only 105 of us. God damn it, if I'm not gonna use it,
I
get laid.
Hard.
Yeah.
What if he was fucking lying the whole time? Like, I feel like back in 1983, you could do that.
Probably.
Just live in Houston and be like, I'm an astronaut.
I'm an astronaut. And just like make a picture of yourself wearing an astronaut-ish suit.
I mean,
and just put that shit up.
It still works now.
No,
and
because of
we don't even have a space program.
I mean, I'm totally I don't listen to this.
Eric isn't us.
What?
Yeah, you can't now because of social media and shit. You can look shit up.
That's true, actually. Yeah,
but back then
you weren't going to a fucking database.
Like, John Lithgow asked her for a picture of herself, and she pulls one from her wallet, and it's a family picture.
And
of
it's
her
like
her
Jeff Daniels.
And it, not only is it a family picture of her and Jeff Daniels, it's a family picture of her and Jeff Daniels when she's like pregnant with their first kid or something. Like it's an old goddamn picture.
He's like, fuck yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna jacket to this picture. Yeah.
God, how weird.
Yeah.
Don't act like you never jacked it to some pregnant porn.
I mean, I totally have, but what I'm saying is, like, the photos are weird.
Like,
you had to be like, hold on, let me go to Walgreens and get that shit printed.
Back then, you couldn't just look at 4,000 pictures of one person.
That's the Norm McDonald joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I had one picture of my grandfather. Now, like, my grandkids will be like, here's 5 million pictures.
Seriously.
Here's everything.
And it's all of my face with my cheek highlighted. Did you see my eyeshadow today? No? Okay, well, I'll show you.
Here it is.
Here's all the meals he ate.
So what do you think? I like this movie. I thought
it's
the performances
good.
Make the movie and the directing makes it.
It's fine.
I see
it
completely differently than I did as a fucking four-year-old, obviously. Well,
you shouldn't be watching this movie when
but
you're 4 years old.
We made the joke that like when I was watching it with my mother was Deborah Winger. And my grandmother was obviously Shirley MacLaine, but now I see it and I'm like, well, clearly you're Shirley MacLaine and I'm Deborah Winger sans the fucking
like,
children
fucking
and the coke habit.
Yeah,
like you sit on your throne of lies, you fucking bitch. Like, you know, I don't know. Like it is weird seeing it as an adult and seeing it in a completely different light, but I do like it.
Yeah. How do you fix this movie?
That is great. So how do you fix this movie? Yes, obviously destroy
it
forever. It's not great.
An affront to God.
It's an affront to
no,
God
I
and
like
Jesus it. And everything else. All right. So first thing.
More Danny DeVito.
Way more Danny DeVito fucking Shirley MacLaine from the beginning.
At least for like half the movie they need to be fucking until she decides to fuck Jack.
Okay. No.
He
should have
fucked
no,
her.
No. Wrong.
After
wrong.
After that
wrong.
Party, he should have fucked
her. No. Danny DeVito and Jack Nicholson.
Fucking
A-framing Shirley MacLaine the entire movie.
The Joker and the Penguin?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. All right.
So, this is now a Batman movie. It's a movie about the
instantly
Joker and the Penguin falling in love with the same lady.
Can Jeff Daniels be Batman?
Jeff Daniels is Batman.
Of course.
Deborah Winger is, I guess, Catwoman.
Obviously, John Lithgow is Robin because he's a little bitch.
Exactly.
Well, because he's the more debonair, younger version of fucking of Jeff Daniels.
And also a little bitch.
That makes
sense. Very clear. Yeah, this all tracks. So we recast this movie. So it's now Ben Affleck and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Who appeared with John Lithgow in fucking Third Planet from the Sun.
That's
or whatever,
right. That's
Rock.
Right.
So like I feel so like it's we can do
the
that.
Natural. He played his son in Third Rock from the Sun. Now he is him
in
the new version.
We solved the
He's playing an alien playing his son, right? Because in the
No, they're not actually related.
Yeah, he's an older.
Exactly.
An
yeah,
older.
Yeah.
All right, so then we're talking about that. And well, why is Ben Affleck in her? I thought Jeff Daniels was
because
Batman.
Because he was Batman.
But I thought we decided Jeff Daniels was Batman in this.
He's too busy.
Yeah, but
making Dumb and Dumber
18.
Can we still get Jim Carrey as the Riddler?
I'm pretty sure we. So Jim
only if we can also make a Dumb and Dumber version.
Yeah, exactly.
In this movie, so we just can like cross
that's
all.
So,
fucking
okay, so here's the thing: we get Jack Nicholson, we get Danny DeVito. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Done.
Jim Carrey. Tommy Lee Jones. That giant guy that played Bane. They're all running a train on Shirley MacLaine.
Okay.
And then,
meanwhile. I like the Michelle Pfeiffer, Shirley MacLaine thing.
Oh, yeah. No, she's strap on. It's all good.
Obviously.
And then, meanwhile, Jeff Daniels shows up and he's like, I'm Batman. And Jim Carrey's like, you want to go on a ride in a dog van? And it's like, yes.
Yeah. Yay, let's go to Aspen where the salmon.
can we also get Sean Young as Catwoman in that Catwoman audition where she showed up as Catwoman?
Yeah.
Sweet. Can we get two Catwomans in?
I mean, look, the Batman 66 show had three Catwomen, so let's get Halle Berry in this too.
No.
Not Halle Berry. No. Halle Berry.
Anne Hathaway?
Okay, that's better than Halle Berry.
Holy shit, there's been a lot of cat women.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Terms of endearment, Batman, cat.
terms of Batman. Batman of endearment.
I am a little embarrassed that we went with, we fixed this movie by
making it a Batman movie.
Shirley MacLaine.
I'm not, and neither is she.
All the superheroes fucking Shirley MacLaine. That's what we should fix this movie.
Whatever. I mean,
she's a little vixen,
but, you know.
That little minx.
Yeah.
Or if this movie, all right. So what if this movie is all Shirley MacLaine, and we don't follow Deborah Winger. It's just all Shirley MacLaine freaking out, fucking Jack Nicholson, and then also.
That is that movie that we were just talking about. That is the
right.
Diane Keaton.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Well, no, but I do feel like Shirley MacLaine is the main character in this movie,
she
right?
Is. Yeah.
No.
I think so. It starts
Deborah
with
Winger
her.
Comes and goes, dude.
Deborah
she
Winger.
She literally dies.
She, her ending
I
is
I feel like
we
spend more time with Deborah Winger than Shirley MacLaine, though.
Yeah, but I think Shirley MacLaine's the main character.
But there's so many, like weird injections of her that you can never get away with her, which is what
Because if Deborah Winger is a main character,
I feel like we have two main characters.
We're in a two main character situation.
No, there's no such thing.
If Deborah
Winger
is a main character, why then is it important that Jack Nicholson shows up later?
It's not.
It is important because Shirley MacLaine is a main character. That's
it
what it's
starts
important.
With her. It starts with her neuroses coming into the fucking.
Well, then there's way too much fucking.
It literally ends with her going closer to
that's
her
true.
Granddaughter.
Yeah,
like her neuroses
right.
is the
yeah,
main character.
Shirley MacLaine is the main character for sure.
But then there's too much Deborah Winger in this movie.
Yeah, but everything that Deborah Winger does has to do in some way with Shirley MacLaine.
In the same way that everything you do has to do with your parents, sure.
You're talking about my saint of a mother?
Yes.
His mother is a fucking saint.
I'm talking about Francisco's saint of a mother, who I assume is listening.
Obviously.
What's up, girl?
What's up? Eat him up.
You guys get in line.
How you been?
Get in line.
It's true. She's fucking hot.
Haven't seen you in a few weeks. How you been?
Haven't seen you since about Christmas time, girl. When you made those dope-ass tamales.
Looking good in that Christmas outfit. You want a
she
Santa's
did.
Elves?
She should be super naive. Like, she did look good.
She looks great. She's been working out, guys.
That's right, guys. Yeah.
Keto diet?
She does work out.
Yeah. Send that little Santa elf outfit you need a lap to sit on?
She's super festive.
Yeah. She would. That's funny. She would sit on your lap.
She totally loves
Santa
Christmas.
She's very fun and festive.
All right.
That's the end of this dumb episode.
Yeah, that's the end of the episode.
I don't remember what's coming up next, but join us. We'll talk about more movies and stuff. And it's 80s movies, probably.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed 100% 1980s hit movie.
Yeah.
But until then, thanks for joining us, Emma.
Thanks.
Again, Emma.
And for having me.
We'll see you next week. Okay. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco.
We may not see you, Emma. We'll see the audience.
Hey,
the audience won't see us, and we won't see them, but we'll hear them.
It's a literal see. We're going to look and touch at our audience.
Sorry about that. I like to think of the podcast as an ocean, and you just...
It just sweeps
you up. Exactly. You get pulled into the tide.
Sometimes
exactly.
I'm just a beached whale. Fuck you, Eric.
Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Andy.
I'm Emma Peterson.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.
Hey, blockheads, welcome.
Let's wait for that fucking motorcycle.
Welcome back to Motorcycles USA Podcast.
Motor City Tucson.
That's right. This is the podcast that's all about the best in motorcycles and motorcycle accessories. Hey, Francisco, I hear you have a new leather jacket.
Fuck yeah, I do.
Never take it off, even in the shower.
Chrome, we got chrome handlebars, we got chrome tailpipes, we got chrome seats.
Oh, I have a chrome tailpipe already.
Oh, no!